amazing love that our Savior would die for us. If you will take your copy of God's Word, we're going to look briefly at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tonight. There are many great truths in this passage, but we'll briefly consider a few of them. We'll begin in just a minute reading in verse 12. But that Good Friday looked like the end. Jesus had died. He'd been betrayed by Judas, trusted among the disciples. He'd been rushed through a trial, scourged, mocked, paraded throughout the city, and now crucified. It happened so fast. The night before they were eating, a few days before he was teaching, and now he was gone, or so it seemed. What if Good Friday was the end? What if Jesus had been placed in the tomb and that's all there was? Would Jesus be worth following if he had not risen from the dead? Would he be a teacher worth following, a rabbi worth imitating, a good man that we should copy? Friends, I believe that Good Friday makes no sense without Easter Sunday. When we understand the resurrection, it is through that the rest of Jesus' life and ministry makes sense. It all comes into clarity. Good Friday must be understood in light of the resurrection. I think it's because, like all the great stories, the adventure that the hero goes on makes no sense unless he actually wins, unless he actually accomplishes the quest for which he embarked. You know, every great story, all the great adventures have basically the same storyline. There is a fairy tale end where everything is wonderful, but then evil comes in and destroys. The princess is taken captive. And then an unlikely hero comes, uniquely suited for the task. The hero overcomes the challenges, he makes friends along the way, and he reaches a final conflict. This is the story of the Bible, by the way, if you didn't know that. I think it's because all the great adventure stories reflect the story of the Scripture, because eternity is written on our hearts. We long for a hero to come and slay the dragon. We long to be redeemed because we are Jesus' people. In every adventure story, a hero must defeat the last enemy. All is worthless unless he wins. The knight must defeat the dragon. Mario has to beat Bowser. Luke must defeat the evil emperor. On Good Friday, Jesus faces the dragon. He fights the last enemy, death itself. I want us to consider for a moment what our life would be like if Jesus was still in the tomb. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 26 speaks to this issue. What was going on in the Corinthian church? That there were some teachers who were coming in and saying that the believers who died would not be raised again. They died and that was it. It was game over. No heaven, no eternity. Now you can imagine that caused some disruption in the church. Among all of the problems in the Corinthian church, this was a big one. It caused chaos. And the Apostle Paul writes to address this issue. And I want you to read with me and see the implications of why the resurrection matters. It's not just about Jesus' life. It's what he accomplished on the cross in his victorious resurrection. What if Good Friday was the end? Let's see how God's Word speaks to this. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead. How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, so by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam we all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. If Good Friday is all there is, if there is no resurrection, then verse 14 tells us that our preaching is pointless. If there's no resurrection, then preaching Jesus is pointless. The heart of Paul's message, the heart of our message as believers, is the resurrection of Jesus. All the Bible flows to this, all the Bible flows from this. It's the centerpiece of the entire story. And if Jesus is dead, if there is no resurrection, then everything we preach, everything we teach is pointless. Not only what we preach, what we say, but also what Christ preached and what Christ proclaimed. You see, Jesus didn't come just to give us some good morals or a few tips on a better life. He came to bring eternal life. That's the heart of his mission. That's what he was teaching toward. And I think this is fascinating that the Apostle Paul says that if you preach morality without the resurrection, it's really just pointless. It's not because that doing good things in itself is bad, but because if there's no source of it, then it's just empty. At its heart, morality, the heart of doing good, the heart of just getting the message across, it seems like that would be worth it. But Paul says, no, just doing good, if there's no Jesus, doesn't matter in eternity. The Christian gospel is not merely an inspirational story. It's a fact. In fact, if Jesus isn't raised from the dead, verse 15, Paul says that we are misrepresenting God. We're calling God a liar. Have you ever been told something that you thought was true? Somebody told you something to convince you of something and you acted upon it? And you probably did something good, something that needed to happen. But then later on, that person came around and said, well, actually, that wasn't really the case. How did you feel when that happened? If you're like me, it wasn't like, oh, well, at least I did something good. You're just like, hey, you lied to me. I was angry because what was motivating me wasn't true. Friends, the truth matters. If Good Friday's the end, if Jesus just simply died, then his teaching, our teaching, is pointless. Number two, Paul says in verse 17 that our faith is also futile. Futile or vain means without basis, without a foundation, without power. It's faith without substance. It's hope that is hopeless. The Bible doesn't call us to blind faith. It doesn't call us to just wishful thinking. It calls us to faith that is of value. It's very common today. You've heard me say this from the pulpit before, that there's people out there who say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. And just believing something is good. But the Word of God says, no, it does matter what you actually believe. What matters is not the authenticity of your own faith. It's not about how genuine your faith is. What matters is the genuineness, the authenticity of what you put your faith upon. What matters is that you have put your faith on Jesus, not how hard you believe. It's because in Jesus all things are yes and amen. In Jesus, the promises of God are accomplished. God doesn't look at you based upon the basis of how hard you believe. He judges you based on who you believe upon. And Paul says, if Christ is still dead, if he is not raised, then that faith is futile. We might as well just put our faith in the Easter Bunny. I hope you don't believe in the Easter Bunny, but if he brings you chocolate and baskets, that's okay. Our faith has to be genuine. Our faith has to be real. Think of all the great heroes of the Bible who had faith. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Ruth, David, all those through Hebrews 11 and all the great stories. All of them hoped something. All of them put their faith, they believed in the true and living God. All of them looked forward to the promise of a Savior. Since the death of Christ and his resurrection, these 2,000 years, all the Christians who have looked back at Calvary and hoped in Jesus, all of their faith, if Christ is still in the grave, it's pointless. It's futile. The suffering of the saints is meaningless. What Jesus went through on the cross, his agony, to secure your redemption means nothing. If Christ is not risen, then the last enemy wins. All the journey to get to the end of the quest is all for naught. Our preaching is pointless. Our faith is futile. Verse 17 also tells us that we are still in our sins. Preaching and faith may have implications for this life for now, but this one has implications for eternity. If Jesus is still in the grave, if Good Friday's all there was, you are still in your sins. You are under the wrath of God. You are headed for eternity apart from Him forever. All the wrath of God is no longer pointed at Jesus. It's pointed at you. Think for a moment with me. What do your sins deserve? Everything you've done, everything you've thought, every time you haven't worshiped a holy God as you should have, every time you've loved created things more than the Creator, every time you've rebelled against Him in your heart. Your sin has wages, it has consequences. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It is coming and it is due. But friends, the reality of sin is actually what makes the sacrifice of Christ so beautiful. When you understand your sin, when you understand the wrath that you deserve, that makes the love and the grace of God so much greater than you could possibly imagine. When you come to see your sin as God does, you see the glory of the Savior in a new way. And when we downplay our sin, we downplay the suffering of the servant king. We minimize our sin. We minimize the love of God. Not just the physical agony he endured. Not just the whips. Not just the mockery of the soldiers. Not just the crown beaten and slammed into his skull. Not just the abandonment of his disciples. Or the excruciating pain of the nails in his hands. Nor the slow asphyxiation, being unable to exhale and eventually die. All of this agony he endured. But not just that. He bore the wrath of the Father for your sins, for the sins of the world. All of that poured out upon Him. If Good Friday is the end, then what Jesus did is meaningless. It accomplished nothing. Verse 18 also tells us that the dead are doomed. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That's the end for them. This is our state without a resurrected Christ. We are doomed. No heaven, no hope of glory, no abiding in the presence of God and eternal joy. Friends, death is such a thief. It's a robber. It steals. And if there is no resurrection, death is victorious forever. This is why Good Friday matters. It's not that Jesus took on the Romans. It's not just Jesus took on the Pharisees, who took on death itself. He, the eternal Son of God, tasted death in full for all of humanity. I think this is perhaps the most incomprehensible part of Good Friday for me. I can imagine God becoming a man. I can imagine that he lived, but that eternal God died a real human death. He entered into it willingly, swallowed up by the grave. He humbled himself for all he would redeem. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Philippians 2:6-8, "Who though being in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And he found himself in human form and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." If Christ did not raise, the dead are doomed. And also in verse 19, in summary, we are a pitiful people. What a conclusion. We're the most pitiful people in existence. This world's all there is, folks. We've chosen a futile faith, a pointless preaching, a doomed hope. We deserve the mocking of the world. We deserve the ridicule of all the rabble. The Romans were right. The Pharisees were right. The crowds were right. We're pitiful. This broken, messed up, painful existence is all there is. If Jesus is still dead, if Good Friday is all that is, we are a pitiful people, still in our sins, futile in faith, have a pointless message, and are doomed in our death. What an end. The hero makes it all the way to the end and is slain by the dragon. The princess still captive. The people still doomed. But is Good Friday all there is? Is Good Friday all there is, friends? No. Verse 20 has great news. But in fact, Christ is raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is why Good Friday matters. This is why it's good. The greatest wicked ever done, the abuse and the murder of the sinless Son of God. In this Good Friday, God works the greatest good through the greatest evil ever committed. Good Friday was not the end, as was supposed. It is the start. Christ tastes death for all he would save. He bore the wrath sinners deserve. He willingly goes to the cross, the nails, the whips, the reviling, the shame, and the crown. So one day he would be lifted up with a different crown, a crown of ultimate triumph. And all would see him not just as King of the Jews, but as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he rescues his bride in a coming day of glory. And the last enemy is overthrown. This is what happens between verses 20 and 26. Death came because of Adam, but righteousness comes through Jesus. In Adam we all die, but in Christ all are made alive. We know that death does not have ultimate victory. The dragon has been mortally wounded. Christ has risen from the grave, and one day, when all of his bride is saved, when his church is completed, when all the nations from every tribe and tongue and language sing and exalted praises to the Lamb, the last enemy is destroyed. The final boss is death itself, and the hero will defeat him once and for all. In Christ, who accomplishes all, the kingdom is established. Death is obliterated. And so we wait. Victory is accomplished, but the ultimate end is still to come. Because Jesus is raised, it changes Good Friday. If Jesus is still dead, if Good Friday is all there is, we're pitiful. We're in our sins. Our faith is futile. and in death we're doomed. But in Easter, our message is power. Our preaching is true power. Our faith is firm, not changing with the winds of this culture. It is established and it is true. And we are not still in our sins, but we are saved from our sins, forgiven and redeemed. And we can look death in the eye and we can laugh at it and say, that's not the end, death. You have no sting. Grave, you have no victory. And instead of being a pitiful people, we are redeemed and made whole in Jesus Christ, the bride who will worship forever in the heavenly city of God. As we move into tomorrow, Holy Saturday, the day that Christ is in the grave, in many ways it's a picture of what we are now today. Salvation is won, but the resurrection's not yet consummated. We're awaiting the ultimate victory, a final Easter, a final resurrection from the dead, when all will be raised and the bride will be with her Savior forever. This last resurrection, this final day, Jesus subjects all things to his reign, that God may be all in all. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Christ come? Because of his great, great love. His love for a world who hated him. His love for enemies. And his love for sinners. He came to save so that one day death will be defeated forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is not the end. That as Christ said, it is finished. It was not finished for him. It was not finished for us. But it was finished for the enemy. It was finished for death. It was finished that all would be subject to your glory and to your name. And Lord, we await that final resurrection. May we live not as pitiful people, but as people who have the power of preaching, a firmness of faith, a joy, even as we look death in the eye, knowing that eternity is secured for us. And may we go, Lord, as a forgiven and redeemed and saved people, taking your gospel to the ends of the earth, so that from every tribe and tongue and language, a people will be saved and worship you forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Please stand.